Hi, welcome to Claim Edge, your resource for litigated claims management and resolution. I'm Jim Chapman, your host, and today we'll be joined by Nicole Clark, CEO of Trellis Law, talking about getting legal intelligence in state court cases, including assessing the metrics around judges and the lawyers on the cases for your litigated claims. We're glad you joined us, and I'm excited to have Nicole on the show, so let's get started. Well, I'm super excited to have Nicole Clark as our guest today on the Claim Edge podcast. I'm Jim Chapman, your host, and Nicole is with Trellis Law. In fact, she's the CEO there. So we're going to hop right into the interview. Nicole, great to have you with us today.
Thanks so much. Good to be here.
Trellis Law describes itself as a legal intelligence company. What's that all about?
So right now, what we do at our core is we aggregate data from all of the fragmented state trial courts across the United States. So thousands of separate fragmented individual county courts. And this data is messy and raw and fragmented. And what we do is structure the data and normalize the data. And from data, you know, starting with messy data, there's not much you can do with it. But the next step, structuring it, there you can get into a little bit of knowledge. And from there, you can actually derive insights. And that's what we consider. The legal intelligence is really the insights, the strategic insights that you can derive from the data that we have aggregated.
That's a great explanation. And it's purely focused on state courts at this point, right?
Correct. The state trial court system.
So how did you get into legal intelligence? What was the genesis of this product?
Well, I was an attorney. I was a litigator, and I practiced a lot at the state trial court level. We were actually panel counsel for a variety of insurance companies doing a lot of labor and employment cases and a lot of class action cases. And so I found myself in state trial court constantly. And I simply couldn't believe how difficult it was to find out information on the judge that I was actually appearing before, on my opposing counsel and their prior cases. Just, you know, information that should be obvious, open and obvious for the system that you're litigating in. And so I complained about it, is what I did. I complained to the only engineer that I knew at the time and said, look, there is this massive amount of data that just hasn't been aggregated that I believe is really, truly valuable data for not only private sector legal, but really across industries. And we started collecting data from the courts that I was appearing in most often. And I was in Southern California at that point, so Los Angeles and San Diego and Orange County, up in San Francisco. And I used the data in my own practice for a number of years. Think of it as I brought in all the data and we sort of put a rudimentary search engine on top of it where I could search my judge and the way they had ruled on similar cases in the past. And it was a game changer for me in my practice. I went on to win every single motion that I had for the next 2 years. And so ultimately, that's actually what gave me the courage to jump from litigation and to launch Trellis, because I could see that if it was that valuable for me, I knew it would be valuable to other litigators as well. And it just became very apparent that this data gave a massive competitive advantage that I needed to share with other litigators.
So is this data then particularly focused on judges, or does it give you any insights about, say, your opponent, your opposing counsel, that sort of thing?
Absolutely. So it's really across the board. If you think about a singular case, there is going to be a variety of sort of metadata points that are associated with the case. So you'll have the judge and the county and the parties and the attorneys. Each one of those, we really refer to as sort of separate classifications that we can do analytics on as well. So it depends on how you want to look at the data, but I like to think you're almost only limited by how strategic you want to be in the way you're thinking about digging into the data. In the same way that you can look at your judge's historical ruling analytics, you can do the same thing for opposing counsel. Where are they appearing? In what courts? Who do they represent? How many dispositive motions have they won recently? So you can dig in really as zoomed out or as granular as is necessary, depending on what you're trying to achieve.
So figuring out, for example, how long a judge would typically handle it, a type of case.
Absolutely.
How much cycle time is going to be involved in this particular litigation if it's assigned to this judge versus another judge? Maybe tracking it around the lawyers on the other side as well?
That's exactly right. So there's a variety. You can think of the sort of core pieces of data that are involved in a single case. And then we enhance that data with a variety of other pieces. So timing being one thing. If we're looking at judge analytics, part of what we dig in on is how long does a case on average sit before this judge? And then how does that change by case type? Does a judge move certain case types faster than others? But now we always compare that with county average for the judge, state average for the judge. So you can actually understand where the judge or whatever you're trying to analyze is an outlier in comparison to others in their peer group. So yes, same thing for opposing counsel in the same way you might want to think about the judge. And as granular as how they rule on very specific pretrial motions to as zoomed out as how are most of the cases that they handle in certain case types getting disposed of and how long do those cases take? Same thing for opposing counsel would be how many cases do they handle? What types of cases? In which venues do they tend to appear? So all of those are different pieces of metrics that you can dig in on.
Do you also get granular into, I don't know, the actual pleadings or the orders, that sort of thing that's being issued in each case, a little bit like, you know, some of the other popular legal search engines?
Absolutely. So the way you might think of your sort of, legacy traditional research platforms that have Court of Appeals data, we're very similar as well. You can actually, depending on the county, and we do go county by county. So whether we have searchable file documents does depend on the county, but where they're available, which at this point is really a vast majority of the counties that we cover, we actually index the body and text of the pleadings of the judge's rulings so that when you're searching on our system, you're not only searching the name of a case, a docket number, you're actually searching the underlying body and text of these filed documents. So you can surface information that is hidden within filed documents that you would never know existed otherwise. And I like to think of the information that's hidden within filed documents as gold, as strategic gold that you simply need to mine out, whether it be who's being associated as counsel or how certain attorneys are positioning issues or when to cite to, you know, new interesting Court of Appeals case law and how that's being used. There's so much gold, strategic gold within filed documents.
This obviously seems to, your market's got to be law firms predominantly. Are you getting good adoption with the platform?
We really are. So in terms of the private sector legal, and we can talk a little bit because absolutely carriers and insurance companies are utilizing us as well. But in terms of law firms, we actually see it across the board. We see plaintiffs utilizing us all the way through your large AM100 defense firms. And the reason is, when you think about it, you always have two sides of a case. You're going to have the plaintiffs and the defendants. Both sides need information, basic information, strategic information in the court system that they're litigating in. So we're seeing really strong adoption. And we think of it as sort of a bottoms-up sales champion-led effort, which is we get discovered by individuals at very large enterprises or all the way down to your individual plaintiffs. And they start utilizing the product, utilizing the data, gaining insights from it. And then they share with their colleagues, hey, we've got this great resource. And we believe that's really part of what's responsible for driving growth at our company is users having a good experience, being able to dig into the data themselves. And then we watch as virality tends to spread within a particular enterprise. And then we say, okay, well, now maybe it makes sense to go in and talk to the CIO or whoever the decision maker is, a very large law firms, when we've already got champions there utilizing the data that can speak to the value of the product.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying there. So the coverage then, it sounds like you started in California.
Correct.
And are you in any other states?
We are. We are currently across 17 states. We have about 560 counties. We try and add about a county a week. So we are very aggressively continuing to aggregate and add data. But if you think about where most of the high volume, high value litigation takes place, those are the states that we went after first. So we did a very calculated prioritization of how we expand our coverage. And of course, we started, you can probably guess the first four, California, New York, Texas, Florida. Those are your mainstays of high volume litigation. And then as we move forward, we continue to go by the type of litigation that takes place in a venue, the volume, the number of attorneys, the population size altogether. So all of those are pieces that help us prioritize where to cover next. But we are continuing to really continue to spread out coverage on a daily basis. It is a huge continued effort for us to continue to add more coverage.
Yeah, I would think one of the challenges is that some states, and maybe it's a county by county play, aren't as advanced in the yes. data that you're able to harvest from them. Is that a challenge?
That is absolutely a challenge, and you're definitely right. There is the entire gamut of your, you know, some states that are really almost entirely digital and have been for some time. And then you've got all the way on the other side of the spectrum, the counties where you have to send in a human into the clerk's office in order to pull up any information on a case. And so the way that we've really handled this right now is we go after wherever the data is already digital. We understand that as we continue to grow, we will have to really send in humans and in some cases put the microfiche data onto our site. But right now, what we've tended to see is the counties that have the largest volume of high-value litigation have moved over to some amount of digitization over, let's call it, the last 5 years or so. And so those ones that are the highest value, in our opinion, we're able to aggregate the data from first. And we're really moving forward that way. So one way to think about our coverage, and it's on our website, on the footer of any one of our pages, you can look at all of our coverage. But one way to think about it is if you could acquire the data digitally, whether you e-file there or you can otherwise pull up PDFs, then the data will likely be available on Trellis. If you still have to send a human in, we probably don't cover that county yet, but it's county by county in terms of how we aggregate and grow our data set.
Just, you know, thinking about it practically, you know, the user experience mm-hmm. around this, it sounds like there's a dashboard that, you know, will tease out some high level information about either the county that you're in or the judges, that sort of thing. But when you get down and get granular, what's the search yep. functionality feel like? How does that play out? How does that help your users?
You know, we really spent a lot of time trying to think about how to make, and this sounds silly, but a lot of time into how to make it simple. And that's really what we did. We wanted to move from a place where if someone knows how to utilize Google, they're going to understand how to utilize Trellis. We know that training large teams, training litigators, training adjusters, no one has time for that. And so we want on a very basic level, someone to whatever assumptions they would make about how a search engine would work, we want those to be fairly obvious on Trellis. So I like to think of us as in the search aspect, which we call smart search, that I like to think of us as a Google for the state trial court system. Whether you're searching for judge or opposing counsel or legal issue, my favorite are really combinations of those. Let's pull up opposing counsel in a particular legal issue and see how many cases or how they've positioned those issues in the past. Has opposing counsel appeared before your judge in the past? So really the mixing and matching of the different sort of structured classifications of data. But we use natural language, so your and your or are going to be your main terms and connectors. Folks that are familiar with Google or Westlaw Next or any of the more natural language search platforms are going to be very, very able to and ready to utilize Trellis.
They'll feel right at home.
Correct.
Yeah, so that's interesting. ClaimEdge is obviously working in the insurance space. We're trying to help mm-hmm. carriers with their litigated claims. Are you guys selling into property and casualty or other insurers with this as a kind of a litigation enhancement product?
We do. So it depends. We're on a few different sides for the carriers. We find it all the way from internal legal departments where they're handling sort of the high level litigation to where they're making decisions on outside counsel and looking up attorneys. And then sometimes we see it all the way down to the sort of end adjuster level where they're looking up the party to see if they've sued other similar cases in the past, to find some basic information about the judge and make sort of a risk decision at that level. So we see it across the board being utilized, but each persona or different user, they have a slightly different use case. Same data, but just a slightly different use case.
So is it integrated with their claim system, or is it simply available as an external, you know, log into your browser and conduct your search functionality through that platform?
Phenomenal question. And we actually get that, which is they don't want another system, right? They have too many systems already. So what we're moving towards for some of our clients is really providing our data via API directly into their end user platform, so that if they have the basic case information and then the docket number, that will take them to the docket of the case. The judge within their own system will show a mini snapshot of analytics on the judge so that they can still keep their folks in the individual platform that they're used to without having to have many additional platforms. And that's what we're finding at the enterprise level, certainly at the carrier level, that they're more interested in now than simply having another platform that they need to tell people to use and how to figure out how to use. So we see it on both ends, but as we move forward, I really see us providing data internally via API into the platforms that make the most sense for the industry and those particular enterprises as being the way that we'll continue to grow.
So I know you mentioned that you can find out all of the states covered on your website. What is, just for our listeners, what's the website?
Absolutely. So we are trellis.law. And if you wanted to just get in there and start searching around, there is a freemium aspect of the product to let you start digging into the data. And you can do that at trellis.law/search and simply start digging in. We find that's how folks really get an idea of the value and can decide for themselves the value of our data.
You know, some other platforms have started to talk about functionality they have around, you know, dealing with issues in specific cases and trying to figure out whether the other side's arguments have, you know, been addressed before, whether cases are left out, ignored, those sorts of things. Does Trellis have any sort of functionality around that, or is that on your roadmap?
It's definitely on our roadmap going forward. We're at an interesting piece because we're not at the Court of Appeals level where you would have been citing other Court of Appeals cases. We're at the trial court level where it's not what you would use to tell the judge, look, this is precedent. This is what you have to follow. It's used in a different use case, which is, practically speaking, what does the judge think the case law is that should be applied? Historically, what has this judge applied? Rather than, judge, you have to do this because the higher court said it. It's sort of, I like to think of the Court of Appeals research as academic research. It's what should the law be? Trellis is more practical focused. What do judges think the law is in this county right now? Let's go ahead and know that so that if we need to educate them, at least we know that from the start.
Yeah. So one of the things I heard you mention earlier was insurance carriers and perhaps others, legal departments, that sort of thing, using your tool to help them find counsel, pick counsel, select counsel, or maybe deselect counsel. I'm not sure. Are there any sort of metrics that are built into Trellis around that so that you could identify how many cases a lawyer's handled of this particular type, what their, I don't know, success rate is? Do they win on motion? How many cases have they tried? That sort of thing. Do you have any of that kind of information available when you get granular?
We do. So when you run a search in the smart search aspect of our site, which is really what I like to think of as all your substantive legal research, where you really want to start digging into the underlying granular data, you're always going to be searching four buckets of data there. You're going to be searching rulings, dockets, documents, and verdicts. So if we're talking about opposing counsel in the ruling section, you'd be pulling rulings where that counsel is associated with the case. Dockets, that's going to be high level, all of their cases. That's where you'd want to dig in to see how many cases, what type of cases, do they take cases to trial? Do they settle after MSJ, before MSJ? All of those pieces are available and visible if you start to look at sort of the litigation flow of how they handle similar cases. And then we have documents. Documents is going to be documents filed by that counsel. So pulling up their underlying filed documents. And then the final bucket of data that will be the fourth tab there is going to be verdicts. So if you're looking at opposing counsel, it's going to be cases that have gone to verdict where they were counsel. Well, you can actually dig in all the way in the verdict section to the mapped to the underlying case. So it's not simply verdict information taken out of context with a little blurb and the amount. But in fact, it's mapped to the docket of the case, the filed documents in the case. So you can dig in deep on context in a way, in a verdict's consideration that really haven't been possible before.
So you can actually see the jury verdict form.
You can see the jury instructions, the verdict form, exactly.
Okay. Get into literally everything that's living in the court's file.
Correct.
That's amazing. That is, you guys are really onto something there.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Is there any sort of alert functionality that you guys have set up? You know, get a notification when something's happened in a case that you're tracking, that sort of thing?
We do, absolutely. So our alerting functionality is a little bit different than other alerting you might consider. So when folks think about alerting on a particular case, one, they probably think about it at the federal level where the data is already structured, and that's an easier aspect to alert on. So of course, we're focusing on the state trial court platform for alerts. But we don't only have the case alerts, meaning in that situation I'd be talking about, you're tracking a particular case and you want to get notified if something in that case changes. Now, we absolutely do that. But what we do goes a layer deeper, which is you can actually track legal issues, new legislation, any kind of sophisticated search that you've already run on our system. So you're opposing counsel and you're a judge and you want to get notified if they have new cases before the judge. The difference is, and the reason that we're able to alert on particular legal issues or search terms is because we do index the body and text of the file documents and the rulings. And that's what allows us to actually surface by legal issue or cause of action or, you know, new legislation. And then basically think of it very similar to Google Alerts. We'll send you an email in the morning with anything that triggered your alerts from the day before. You can dig into the underlying cases. And I like to think of it as sort of allowing Trellis to research in the background for you, let you know when something that could be important, an important aspect of the practice or the case, we go ahead and let you know, hey, this is something you should take a look at, and then you can see. So a way to stay aware as different legal issues are moving their way through the courts. Maybe judges are splitting on the issue. Maybe folks need to stay an absolute expert on a very niche legal issue. We can help you watch as new cases are filed that are moving forward with that issue.
So I know one of the challenges, and frankly, this is probably even true at the federal level, is the cases get coded, you know, by the cause of action when they're first filed.
Yeah.
But there might be multiple claims, you know, they're not all breach of contract. Maybe there's a fraud claim in there, you know, intentional tort, all kinds of stuff in the complaint, but it has to be, you know, it's check the box when it's filed. And that's typically the way the clerk, you know, keeps a record of it. They don't dive into the, you know, they don't get granular with what all the claims
Absolutely.
Are in a complaint. Are you guys doing that? Are you kind of teasing that out so that you know what all of the issues are in a case to track that information?
So the answer is yes and. What you're talking about is one of the biggest obstacles that we face, which is even if we were to say that it was accurately identified, let's call it a personal injury case, what the Bronx in New York refers to as a personal injury case is going to be entirely different than what Queens calls a personal injury case. So one might be called PI, one's called P injury. I mean, it's everything you can imagine. We're talking about one very specific case type here. So what we have to do on our side is take those thousands of different ways to refer to a single case type and really map it back to our own structure. We create the structure and then we map all of those varying ways to say the same thing back into sort of our dictionary for what that cause of action, what that case type should be. Now, you're right. There's going to be a multitude of those, right? You're going to have employment issues that also have contract issues that potentially have fraud issues. So what we do in those cases is we'll generally tag it to each of those issues. So it's going to, we went for the sort of over-inclusive aspect of it, which is if it has a fraud thing, it's going to show up in fraud. But if it has a breach of contract issue, it's also going to show up in breach of contract. So whichever way you searched. Now, we're continuing to parse out this information, which often is hidden inside the text of the complaint. There is no easy way to do this. So we're continuing to get better and better at that, but certainly solving, first and foremost, just the overall case type is itself sometimes a maze of obstacles for us.
And I almost hesitate to ask this question, but, you know, Westlaw, as an example, got its start with this key site system, right?
Yep.
Way back when, and people would read every case and, you know, kind of pigeonhole it into all of their numbering system.
Yep.
An extremely manual process. Today, with artificial intelligence of various flavors, including natural language processing and machine learning, are you guys able to leverage that to sort of read the complaint and at least get it started? You might still need some manual checking around that, but is that part of what you're doing?
So it is part of it. And I'd say we're still at the infancy in terms of how sophisticated this technology is going to be. So absolutely, we do that. The thing that makes machine learning or natural language processing really effective is a large training set, a large amount of training data. And of course, we came in and none of this data was structured. There was no training data. So what we had to do initially was a very manual classification effort. And I'm talking classification all the way down to the individual docket entry, not even the docket itself, but docket entry by docket entry. Because sometimes judges would sub out and hear another judge's motion. Of course, we're doing ruling analytics, so we need to attribute it to the right judge. But that's just one example. So that process right now, we have definitely a good amount of training data as we continue to classify cases. We're getting more and more, which will really allow the algorithm to continue to get more sophisticated. Now, does that mean that there is not human intervention? No. I can tell you, and it's always funny to me, the sort of question of, you know, are robots going to replace lawyers? And running an AI company, no. We are nowhere near that in terms of what the technology can do really well right now. It can do very specified high pattern tasks. And there's so much nuance with legal language that it does still ultimately, particularly where you have multiple claims, multiple rulings, and within one ruling, that you're still going to need human eyes on that to really make sure that it's entirely accurate. And then, of course, the more accurate data we feed into the algorithm, the better that the algorithm will become. So I'd say, you know, we're at the infancy of what we can do, and I'm really excited for as we continue to move forward and have more and more training data.
Well, that is super exciting to hear. One of the things that we've done at ClaimEdge is to train an AI that can read deposition testimony, which is super granular and identify the key aspects out of it and, you know, provide you that level of output. It saves a chunk of time, obviously, but getting it to do that is not easy. And it requires a lot of training data.
It really does. It's always funny because we think about a particular technology. Oh yeah, that's obvious. You know, read the deposition transcript, highlight the key areas. And the amount of work that goes into really making that effective is, I mean, it's why we have companies, because this isn't easy. Because this really does take a unique, high-functioning engineering team.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Nicole, I've really enjoyed this discussion. You're doing amazing stuff there with Trellis, and super excited
Likewise.
To have a chance for our audience to hear about it. If anybody wants to get in touch with you after this, can you share the best way to do that?
Absolutely. So just a reminder, you can visit our website at any point, we're trellis.law. To reach out to me directly, I'm more than happy to chat, nicole@trellis.law. And if you have want to send just general questions, info@trellis.law is another good one. And you can find me on LinkedIn and Twitter at nicole_a_clark.
Great. Well, thank you very much. This has been an exciting opportunity to chat with you and wish you a ton of success in what you're doing.
Thanks so much, Jim. Likewise.
Yeah. Have a great one.
You too.
Nicole, thanks again for joining us today and sharing what you're doing to improve legal analytics and legal intelligence at Trellis Law. And thanks for listening today. If you like this episode, please share it with your colleagues and friends. Until next time, this is Jim Chapman on the ClaimEdge podcast, signing off.